So I guess I'll introduce myself. I'm Sankarshan Das Adhikari. This is my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Das. Right now on an around the world tour, based in America, finishes the last few legs of our tour here. We're going on to Fiji. Some you may have heard of that place, Fiji. Going to Fiji from here and then back to the US, LA, back to our base in Austin. We're traveling all over the world, not for sightseeing business. We're traveling all over the world. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that after getting initiated, one should travel all over the world and preach Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we hear, well, that's the business of the sannyasi. But in this one purport, Prabhupada described this is the duty of one who is initiated. Travel all over the world and preach Krishna consciousness. So, we are trying our best. Actually, Rupa Goswami explained that he is trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, although he feels completely unfit to do so. And Prabhupada said, this should be the attitude of all the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement. So the idea is, the more that you can feel that you're unfit, the better. Because that way, when you're truly humble, then you can, when you're completely, totally humble, then you can be a suitable instrument in the hands of the previous acharyas. But if you think, yes, I am a great preacher, then you know there's not so much you can really do if you're proud. So in our world preaching, we emphasize very much pure devotional service because that is a qualification. To become completely pure in one's devotional service. So we will study a nice verse about how to make Krishna dear to us and how to become dear to Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 17. Teshang Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate Priyo Hi Jnanino Tyaratam Ahang Sa Mang Ahang Sacha Mama Priya. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Free from all contamination of material distress, rather the contamination of material desires, the distressed, the inquisitive, the penniless, and the seeker after supreme knowledge can all become pure devotees. But out of them, he who is in actual knowledge of the Absolute Truth and free from all material desires becomes a really pure devotee of the Lord. And of the four orders, the devotee who is in full knowledge and is at the same time engaged in devotional service is, the Lord says, the best. By searching after knowledge, one realizes that his self is different from his material body. And when further advanced, he comes to the knowledge of impersonal, Brahman, and Paramatma. When one is fully purified, he realizes that his constitutional position is to be the eternal servant of God. So, by association with pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration, and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. But in the preparatory stage, the man who is in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord and is at the same time executing devotional service is very dear to the Lord. He who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. Well, we all have a lot of desires, don't we? I want this, I want that. So many things we want, isn't it? We have hearts full of desire. Is it satisfying us? No. There's so many anxieties we have, isn't it? So many anxieties. Why? Because our desires are material. So, the Mayavadi, he wants to eliminate material desires. You see, the voidist, the impersonalist, he wants to say, make it void, make it zero, make it one, just wipe it all out. No material desire. What is that practical? That you can just say, okay, not going to have any more material desire. Is it practical? No, it's not practical. Our nature is to desire. That is our nature. You must have desire because psychologically you are a desire, isn't it? You are a desirer, isn't it? So, therefore, we must fill our heart with spiritual desires. You see. And then easily, all the material desires are gone. I know I was thinking one time, well, I really want to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, but maybe that's just an egotistic desire. I was thinking, maybe I should give up this desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Must be egotism. Then I was thinking, well, if I don't desire that, then all these material desires are going to come in. So I better keep desiring to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, just to protect myself from Maya. See? But actually, the desire to spread Krishna consciousness is not a material desire. Srila Prabhupada explains in his Bhagavatam purport what is the mentality of a Krishna conscious being. Now, I would like to ask you all this. Are we supposed to be Krishna conscious beings or not? What is the name of our movement? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we are supposed to be Krishna conscious, right? Right. I mean, goes without saying, but we might as well say it to make it clear. So we're supposed to be Krishna conscious. All right, now Prabhupada describes what is the mentality of someone who is Krishna conscious in the Bhagavatam. Someone who is actually Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to Godhead. See, that's a Krishna conscious person. And he says, even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed. And anyone who follows him will also achieve perfection. So, if one is feeling a desire to spread Krishna consciousness, to make people devote, to turn the non-devotees into devotees, that is very good. That is a symptom of Krishna consciousness. So any desires we have like that, we should say this is a very good thing. It's not egotistical that I'm thinking I'm great, that I can, you know, save someone. No. Rupa Goswami, we do it in the mood of Rupa Goswami, that's all. We feel I'm totally unfit, but this is a service that I've been given by Guru and Krishna. I'm supposed to spread this movement. Lord Chaitanya has given that order, isn't he? Who did he give it to? A sannyasi? No. A householder. And another point, recently I heard, we were in Mayapur, I was listening, we were taking the taxi from Mayapur back to Calcutta Airport. I said, well, you know, I think I'll keep my feeling of being in Mayapur. So I just started getting out my little MP3 player, listening to all these Mayapur morning walks while we were on the way to the airport. So I can still feel like I'm in Mayapur, you know. Keep that feeling going as long as possible, right? So, and Prabhupada was saying that a very interesting conversation he had in Mayapur. that who did Lord Chaitanya agree to hear from? In other words, who did he submit himself to as a student and take to that, put that, accepted that person in the position of a guru or an instructor that he could learn from? You know who it was? Was it a sannyasi? No. Sometimes people think that they're amazed that, well, and how you can be initiating guru if you're not a sannyasi? People are amazed. You don't have a stick. Only people with sticks can have disciples. And sometimes we have, it goes around ISKCON when we travel around, people are amazed. How you can be a guru if you're a house sorter? But who did the Prabhupada gives the example of who Lord Chaitanya accepted as guru? The only person he actually submitted himself to accepting that person as a guru to hear from him was a householder, Ramananda Roy. He sat and heard from Ramananda Roy. He heard from a householder. Lord Chaitanya heard from a householder, not a sannyasi. He didn't hear from Rupa Goswami. He instructed Rupa Goswami, but he heard from a householder. So we shouldn't think, we're not trying to minimize the sannyasis. The whole point is, we can't put it all off on the sannyasis. Well, that's the sannyasis' business. You know, I'm just going to make money and decorate my house. We can't say, well, that's their duty, not mine. No. The point is, it's the duty of each and every one of us to preach Krishna consciousness and spread this movement. Jarite katahe kaha Krishna upadashamara gaya guru ho yutare deksh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. So, this is the great contribution of our Krishna consciousness movement, that everyone becomes empowered to become a teacher, a spiritual master, a preceptor of the science of Krishna consciousness. Each and every member, even our little when Prabhupada went to India, there was one little girl, Saraswati. She's only, I mean, she could just barely even talk. I was a little tiny girl. Saraswati's, she was the daughter of Malati and Shamsundi. So, she would approach some man there in Vrindavan. She would say, do you know who is Krishna? Say, no. Who? You tell me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Prabhupada said she's first class preacher. So if that is all you know, if you simply know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you can become a first class preacher. You simply have to be convinced. Now if we go to downtown Sydney today, and we take a survey, you see, you get a little pad, you know, clipboard, paper, pencil, you know, take a survey. Do you believe in God? Oh yeah. Most people would say yeah. And then we say, okay, very good. Now, if I told you that God is a little blue cowherd boy, he wears a peacock feather in his hair and he runs around the forest at night, under the full moon night of the Sharad season, blowing his flute on the bank of the Jamuna River in the bushes, what would you say? I'm calling the police. There's a nut out here on the street who escaped from a mental hospital. Isn't it? Isn't that what would happen? So you all are Indians. You can say, well, you know, by culture we accept Krishna. Do I look like an Indian? Do I look like a Hindu? How did Prabhupada convince us American boys and girls that God is a little blue cowherd boy and wears a peacock feather in his hair and runs around the Vrindavan forest at night in the bushes blowing his flute on the bank of the river Jamuna under the moon, the full moon night? How did Prabhupada convince us? You see? How did he do that? What was his secret? Did he drug us? Did he bribe us like the Christian missionaries do in India to accept Jesus? By money, bribery? If you accept Jesus, we'll give your kids a good education. No. Prabhupada had no money to bribe us. You know what the original prasadam was at the 22nd Avenue? Do you know what was the original prasadam program after the lecture? One apple. One apple for everyone. Not that everybody got one apple. There was one apple for the whole group. Prabhupada would break that, would cut that little apple into little tiny pieces. Everybody get a little tiny piece of the apple. That was the Pashadam. That's how poor ISKCON was in the beginning. There was only one apple for the whole assembled audience. Had to share one apple with each other. But it came from the lotus fingers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Who was absolutely convinced that Krishna was God. How was Prabhupada convinced? Do you know how Prabhupada was convinced? Because he could see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. You see? Just like I'm convinced that you exist. Because I've seen you many times. I saw you the first time in Arkansas. Then I saw you again in Suva. I've seen you now, I think this is the second time in Sydney. I've seen you twice in Vrindavan, two or three times. So I know you exist. You see. So Prabhupada is seeing Krishna constantly. So of course he's totally convinced that Krishna is real. You see. This is not simply some Hindu mythology, as the British claimed when they came to India. Even today, the Hindus now say, our Hindu mythology. They were so brainwashed by the British. Shame, shame. India was spoiled by this foreign influence. The Mughals and the British, they spoiled everything. Do you know when Marco Polo came to India? I read some written words of Marco Polo, the famous European trader. He said, this is the wealthiest place in the entire world. You see. Before the foreigners came and plundered the wealth and disrupted the minds of the Indian people, it was the wealth. When Vedic culture was strong in India, it was the wealthiest place in the whole world. Now it's become, as Prabhupada always said, a beggar nation. Please give us technology. Please give me a job in your software firm. I'm a poor Indian, and I made very good grades in school. And here's my diploma. Please accept me. You see. But actually, India has the greatest wealth. It is still the wealthiest nation in the whole world because it is the land of Vedic culture. It's the wealthiest country in the whole world. And that great wealth has now been plundered by Sri Sri Kornitai. They have broke open that storehouse of love of God and they are freely distributing. They distributed all over India 500 years ago. But the rest of the world was saved for a very, very dear servant of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. He could have personally spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Why did he not do so? Prabhupada explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam Purport that Krishna likes to see his devotee of some hero of which he himself, Krishna, is the actual doer. Even though Krishna is ultimately the doer of everything, he likes to see his devotee become more glorified than he is himself personally glorified. Doesn't he say that in the Adi Purana? If you want to be my devotee, don't try to do it directly. I won't accept you if you try directly to try to be my devotee. But if you will come to me as the devotee of my devotee, then you're in. Dasa, 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 and a dasa. Just like you all are very attached to my beloved godbrother, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, you see. That attachment to your spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Goswami, makes you very, very dear to Krishna. If someone thinks, well, I will just directly approach Krishna. We actually see that sometimes at the Sunday feast lectures when I travel around. I can spot a Kanishta Adhikari a mile away. Because when it comes time for the lecture, they're not. I've seen, they sit there and just look at the deities. Like glued to the deity. They won't look at the speaker to acknowledge that somebody's even giving a lecture at the time. It's just, I'm here in the temple room and I'm having darshan. And there's not really a lecture happening in this room right now, because I don't care a fig what this, whoever that is up there talking, I don't care a fig what they're saying, but I just want people to know that I am a great devotee because I meditate on Krishna. I've seen. But Krishna doesn't accept such a person as a devotee. The more you become the devotee of the devotee, of the devotee of the devotee of the devotee of the devotee. So, in this way, you may say, well, you know, for my guru I would. But no, actually we're meant to, for all the devotees. I found that one is the, that's one of the insider secrets on how to become very happy in Krishna consciousness. Worship all the devotees in ISKCON. Every single ISKCON member, we should find something about that member who is, that is very wonderful, and worship that quality, you see. We should try to appreciate each and every devotee, you know, in this movement. I was asked to speak something about Tamal Krishna Goswami. There's so many things I can appreciate about him. You see, the more I can appreciate him, the more Prabhupada will be pleased that I'm appreciating my senior godbrothers, you see. That will please Prabhupada, because Prabhupada also didn't want us to be only dedicated to him. And to say, yes, Prabhupada, I'm totally surrendered to you, but I couldn't care a fig about my godbrothers, you see. Prabhupada didn't like that attitude. There was one godbrother, he came, he went to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, the godbrother is this, and the godbrother is that. He was complaining, he says, I will take instructions from you, but he was criticizing all the devotees. You know what Prabhupada told him? It's shocking. He said, you leave this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, just go earn money and enjoy it. He told him to get out of the movement, actually, with that attitude. It was heavy. Very heavy thing. And he followed Prabhupada's instruction, he left the movement. He had a very, he was very critical of all the devotees. He said, GBC means got a big chip. That's a saying for having a negative attitude. A chip on the shoulder attitude means very negative attitude, cynical attitude. So actually he was the one who had a big chip on his shoulder, but he said GBC means got a big chip. So he was just completely negative about it. He said, I only, you know, accept Prabhupada. But Prabhupada didn't accept his so-called devotion. You see. So we actually, the more we can appreciate our godbrothers. I remember the first time I first heard about Tamal Krishna Goswami from Vishnu Jan Maharaj, and you know from Servant of the Servant that Vishnu Jana and Tamal Krishna, they were very close friends and they joined together. Well, guess who made me a devotee? Vishnu Jana Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Goswami's best friend made me a devotee. So I sometimes heard about this devotee named Tamal Krishna Goswami. Actually, at that time he was Tamal Krishna Goswami. The first I heard about him was when I was in Dallas Temple. A letter came with some quotes from Prabhupada that Tamal Krishna Das Adhikari had just been given sannyas, and he was the first sannyasi in ISKCON to get the name Goswami. All the others were called Swami, but this one was called Goswami. Prabhupada said, because he was the first one to give up anything. Because the others just went straight from brahmachari to sannyas. But now here was someone with a nice devoted wife, and actually initially he gave up his GBC post also. That was the condition to take sannyas. You had to give up your managerial post. But then the Prabhupada reinstated him as GBC. But he gave up his GBC position and his wife just to be a traveling preacher. So that was the first I heard about Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he was the first one to get the name Goswami. So it wasn't until, I mean, many, because he was in India, I was in the US, and then finally around 73... It was very exciting for me. I was in Gainesville as a brahmachari there, and the Radha Damodar Party was coming to Gainesville. So that means I get to see my Vishnu Jana, my Varma production guru. That was very enlivened. So there they come in together, the dynamic duo, Vishnu Jana Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Goswami. They were the talk of the whole movement. I mean, they were the big heroes. Though that dynamic duo, they were recruiting the new devotees like anything. So I remember they came in. I actually recorded it on a cassette player. So I had was able to replay it and get the exact quotes down of the conversation. But I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj, it was quite funny. He said, yes. He says, I'm just a small fry. Vishnu Jana can eat me under the table. In other words, he can. If it's a matter of who can eat more prasadam, Vishnu Jana can be keep continue. He can be eating, no problem. But I'll be passed out under the table if I try to eat as much prasadam as he can eat. So that was the first words I heard from the mouth of Tamal Krishna Goswami. He says, "I'm just a small fry." Very first words I ever heard him say, "I'm just a small fry." And I like that because, you know, Vishnu Jana Maharaj was my worshipful Vartmatajarshaka guru. To hear Tamal Krishna Maharaj glorifying him was enlivening for me. I received a personal instruction during that visit from Tamal Krishna Goswami. He told me to be a Goshti Anandi, not to be a Bhajan Anandi. To be very, in other words, to preach, not just to practice Krishna consciousness for myself, to preach for the benefit of all living entities. He gave me a personal instruction, and I've always followed that instruction. I was already thinking that way, but it just reinforced my, because Vishnu Jamaraj had trained me to think that way, you see. But now it was reaffirmed by Tamal Krishna Maharaj that I should be a Goshti Anandi. I should think about spreading this movement. And at that time, my temple president was, I don't know why, he was being kind of, he was being real tough on me. He wouldn't recommend me for second initiation. Even though I'd been, I don't know why he was doing that, but he just was being real tough on me. And Prabhupada was getting ready to come to Atlanta. We're going to go see him. It would be a great opportunity to get second initiation with Prabhupada there. But anyway, somehow the Vishnu, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he how he can size you up by talking with you and looking at you. He checked me out and he told the temple president, you should get him second initiated. He recommended that I should be second initiated to the temple president. And then the temple president followed that instruction. I got second initiated on Bhakti Siddhanta's appearance day directly by Prabhupada in Atlanta. So I'm always indebted to Tamal Krishna Goswami that I got my second initiation that day from Prabhupada because he had given the word that I should have it. That was really, so I never forgot that favor from him. And then also, I had another situation. Again, where temple presidents, I had one temple president after another who were being very tough on me. No one would let me go to Mayapur in Vrindavan. I'd been a devotee for 9 years. Nobody would ever let me go. I always had to stay back year after year after year after year. 9 years, I'm seeing all the devotees coming back, telling me about the festival. I'm going, what am I going to get to go? But every year when it came time, no, you staying back. No matter what temple I was at, it was all you're staying back. But then, when I was working with Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Dallas, in 1980, I was the only devotee in the whole zone that got to go. Because he personally blessed me to go to Mayapur Vrindavan Festival. So in many ways, he's always been a very dear devotee. So many nice things he did for me in my devotional life. Where others were being very hard on me, he was soft. And then when I went to open one preaching center in Norman, Oklahoma, he actually came. I had a little one of those early model Toyotas, a little tiny car, very small little Toyota. But he rode me like 300 miles. And he rode with me in the car. I drove and he rode, and there's a couple of people in the back seat. Very little tiny car. He rode me all the way to Norman, Oklahoma to convince one man to donate the rent there for the preaching center that I was going to open. convince that man to do that. So in so many ways, I'm always remembering the... plus the fact that we have Radha Damodar. Vishnupriya Mataji was willed Radha Damodar by Tamal Krishna Maharaj in his written will, a lifetime benediction. Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And they're available for darshan at the home of Saurabh Jag. He'll give you directions if you want to get there. They're available for darshan. The personal deities of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Gurudev. They're available right here in a rare appearance in Siddhi. So, this worship of our God brothers is actually very good, because what is the first offense against the holy name? To blaspheme or criticize the devotees. So we have to learn how to worship and appreciate all the devotees. On some level, every devotee has wonderful qualities. Otherwise, why are they chanting Hare Krishna? You see? We should be very expert to find out the good in every single Vaishnava. Why? Because if we don't see the good in them, what will we do? We'll look for the bad. Ah, look, they do this, they do that. You see, they're puffed up. They're this, they're that. We'll look for bad qualities in them. And that will, and that means we will become Vaishnav Aparadi Nam Aparadis, and we will never taste the sweet nectar of the name. Shushu Shro Shradana Sha Pasudeva Katarichi Syan Mahat Sevayavipra Punya Sevana Kirtanat. Bhagavatam says that by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, what happens? Do you know? By serving the Vaishnavas, what happens? You gain an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva, Krishna. You become attracted to Krishna Katha by doing Vaishnava Seva. So Vaishnava Seva is not just with your body, but it's also with your words and with your thoughts. One should always think about the wonderful qualities of the devotees within your mind. Not the thing, oh, it's really a jerk, but I'll give him some prasadam. Here, take your prasadam. I'll give you some seva. That's not seva. That's an insult. You see? You have to actually appreciate that devotee. Something. I remember when I was in Bombay, I was absolutely amazed. Years ago. I think it was one of those first years I went to Mayapur Vrindavan. There's a little festival in Bombay in between. They used to have three festivals. There would be the Mayapur, and then there would be like five or six different mini festivals in between Mayapur and Vrindavan. And one was a festival in Bombay. So Sridhar Maharaj gave a big announcement in the Prasadam room in Mayapur through his megaphone. He gave us a big sales pitch for Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, and I went. And I remember I was in that Prasadam room, either that or the subsequent year. Actually, it was 82. But anyway, I was sitting down there in the Prasadam room. It was kind of empty at the time. I came in late. Someone had given me a plate somehow or other. I was sitting there taking Prasadam. And then, who walks up? But His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. And you know what he said to me? I never forget. In a very sweet voice, he said, "Is there anything else I can bring for you?" I couldn't believe it. Wow, that's amazing. You know what Prabhupada said about, he was such a powerful person. He said, Prabhupada said, Giriraj is Bombay, and Bombay is Giriraj. I mean, he was a very powerful person for establishing that Bombay project. You see. Such a big person with so much prestige, and I never had heard anyone in all the years I've been in the movement, no one had approached me with such a sweet, humble voice and asked me if I wanted some more prasadam. So sweetly and humbly. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Is there something more I can bring for you? Like that, he said it. Wow. So this is an example, you see. This means that such a person, if he can talk like that, it wasn't a show. You see, he's actually such a person who can speak in that way What is he thinking in his mind about the devotees? Now here's something I often say. Just imagine if every thought that was in your mind could be projected onto the internet so that every ISKCON devotee could see exactly what you're thinking at every minute. Would you have to stay home in the closet out of embarrassment? Or could you come to the temple without turning, you know, 15 different shades of red and an embarrassment, you see? Our thoughts should be so pure. That's the point. We should really master the art of purifying our thoughts, of always seeing the wonderful qualities in the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada explains that every person has a combination of good qualities and bad qualities, but a devotee is one who looks for the good. A non-devotee is the one who looks for the bad. He said the devotee is like the honeybee going for the honey, and the non-devotee is the fly going for the sower, going for the stool. So we have. So if we're actually going to live up to the name that, you know, the way that the other devotees give us, yes, you are a devotee, and we have to. We cannot be fault finders. We have to be good quality finders. And here's another one of those insider secrets. What is the fringe benefit? In the material world, they always say, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this, right? What am I going to get out of all this? Well, here's what you're going to get out of it. See, by finding fault, you think, "Bah, I'm one up." Because he has that fault. I'm one up on him. That's the material thing. You know? But if you look for the good in the other devotees, you know what happens? You know what amazing, wonderful thing happens when you look for the good in the other devotees? Those good qualities that you worship in the other person, you inherit those qualities yourself. By a spiritual osmosis, you develop those qualities yourself. If you appreciate, oh, that person sings out so nicely with so much love, then there will be more love in your singing also, naturally. So whatever good quality you can appreciate in the other Vaishnavas, you will be the inheritor of those qualities. So there's a lot of fringe benefits in, you know, bringing that rascal called the mind under control. It's a lot of benefits. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur very much emphasizes this. You know that? You know the instruction he gave? Shoes and the broom? Anyone know that instruction? He says, in the morning, you take your shoes and you beat your mind 100 times. In the evening, you take broom and you beat your mind 100 times. See, that mind is such a rascal. You've got to show the mind who is the boss, you see. Okay, mind, now you are going to learn how to be a devotee. Bhajahu re mana srinandanandana abhayacharanada vindade. My dear mind. Of course, Govindadas, he took a different approach. He took the soft approach. Bhaktisiddhanta took the hard approach. So either way, whatever works. Govindadas said, my dear mind, just engage yourself in the service of that. And the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. So in this way, if we can appreciate the wonderful qualities of great Vaishnavas like Artama, Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and others, other illustrious ISKCON heroes, and you are all illustrious ISKCON heroes also, each and every one of you. If we can appreciate the wonderful qualities, the more we can become dasa, dasa, and dasa. I remember Ramapad Swami, he was appreciating the qualities of the disciples of Tamal Krishna Goswami. That's even a better glorification. You see, the more you can, because that really glorifies the Master. When the disciples are glorious, that is the greatest glorification of the spiritual Master. Prabhupada said, Vishnu Janmaj told us, that Prabhupada said, You're always saying, "Oh, glorious is Srila Prabhupada." Why don't you become glorious? You see? You see, that is the greatest glorification of the spiritual master. When the disciples become glorious, then people will think, well, these are the disciples of tomorrow, Krishna Goswami. They're each and every one of them is a great sadhu. What incredible guru he must be. He has his disciples are all such great sadhus. You see. So this is the greatest glorification. When the disciples become great sadhus, advanced devotees. So in this way, the more we can appreciate the devotees and the devotees of the devotees and the devotees of the devotees of the devotees and the devotees of the devotees of the devotees of the devotees, ad infinitum, you see, dasa, dasa, nidasa. This is how we become, as stated in this verse, he is dear to me. This is our goal. We want to become dear to Krishna. In this material world, who do they become dear to? They want to become dear to their wife. They want to become dear to their kids. If they don't have a family, what do? They keep one dog. Oh, I become dear to my dog. When I come home from work, he'll lick me in the face. You see? I become very dear to my dog. And then when he passes stool, I stand there patiently with a pooper scooper. So, in this way, let us always meditate on the great qualities of the devotees. Worship them within our hearts. The more that the devotees are dear to us in our hearts, genuinely dear to us in our hearts, to that extent we will become dear to Krishna. And that is the perfection of our existence. Why? Because the Bhagavad Gita tells us to do it? Is that why? The perfection of our existence? No? Well, yes, but why does the Bhagavad Gita say that? See, we're not blind followers of the Bhagavad Gita. We're philosophers. We understand why the Bhagavad Gita says these things. We understand the underlying philosophy behind the Bhagavad Gita. What's the whole point of the Bhagavad Gita? You see, we don't just superficially understand the Bhagavad Gita. We understand it in deeply. We understand it. That is our. We are meant to deeply understand. So, Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate." You see, everything emanates from me. So actually, Krishna is emanating us from himself simply for the purpose of enjoying a loving relationship with us. So we exist for that very purpose, to have a loving relationship with Krishna. That's why we exist. Not for any other purpose. So that's why anything outside of loving Krishna will never, ever, ever satisfy us. We have to love Krishna. Because that's what we are by nature. We are lovers of God by nature. But it's simply been by the influence of the modes of nature that love of Krishna has been transformed, just like milk being transferred into dahi. It's been transformed into lust. So we have to reverse it. We got to get it back to its original pure state by chanting Hare Krishna, by taking shelter of Guru, worshipping Vaishnavas, following the standard items of Krishna conscious practice given in the Bhagavad Gita. So, we can ask now if there's any questions. We're happy to try to answer them. Now I can see if anybody heard the lecture or not. There's no questions. I think, well, maybe, you know, I never connected with them. They just sat there and smiled and nodded, but they didn't really understand what I was talking about. Just maybe, you know, went in and out the other. Nothing really entered the heart. No one never really clicked. Yes.
You mentioned that times were certain times quite difficult with temple presidents and like that, and I was wondering what you draw your strength upon to be very solid in, you know, following what Srila Prabhupada said despite the difficulties that you've had.
Yes. Anytime, there's always going to be some difficulties in this material world getting along, even within our society, because, you know, it's a hospital, you have your imperfections, I have mine. So we have to be very tolerant. Yeah. That kind of thing will always be there. It's no big deal. If you really love Prabhupada, then you will do what pleases him. Well, for me, it was quite easy because Prabhupada had given me some personal instructions. That was all. I just did what Prabhupada told me. I just stuck to Prabhupada's order, that's all. When I joined this movement, I was inspired by Vishnujana Swami. And he was very much in the mood of making a spiritual revolution on this planet. So I was inspired to also be in that same mood. And I had one advantage of being initiated when Prabhupada was on the other side of the planet, so I got to send my dakshin in and write a personal letter to Prabhupada. Because I was, you know, I turned in the dakshina with a nice personal letter, and I said, I told Prabhupada how I wanted to spread this movement. And so he picked up on that really immediately. He wrote me back. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager to spread this movement. He said, now you simply continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I took those words very deeply into my heart, and I embraced them with all my life and soul. And I never let anything stop me from always being enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, you see. This movement has seen many ups and many downs, but I've got my connection. And I've never lost my enthusiasm. I figured, you know, even if everybody else, even if the whole movement falls apart, even if the whole thing would disintegrate, I'm just going to keep going. They actually that later that year there was the temple presidents. Prabhupada had told me to make the Austin Center a grand success in my initiation letter, and later that year the temple president said, "Well, we're going to close down the temple and go preaching." I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, I have an order from Prabhupada to make this temple a success, and they want to close it. So you know what I did? I wrote Prabhupada a letter. I said, Prabhupada, they want to close the temple, but I'm willing to stay here personally and keep it open. Prabhupada was so pleased. Actually, he wrote two letters on the same letterhead, front and back. One letter to me and the other to the temple president. He glorified me and he chastised the temple president. You think the temple president was pleased with me when he got that letter? Temple president was not at all pleased. He tried to deny ever having said it that he wanted to close the temple. But it was too late. Prabhupada had chastised him and glorified me. And I was happy because Prabhupada was, I had pleased my spiritual master very much. But my determination to serve his order no matter what. So Prabhupada trained me in this way. How I should, it doesn't matter what's happening all around you. You have your order from your spiritual master and that's it. You see, you don't let anything mess. And one godbrother, he named Rudra Prabhu. This letter did not make it in the Veda base, but I personally saw this letter and copied it down verbatim in my notebook many years ago. He told Prabhupada, my godbrother has always criticized me. Prabhupada's response was, mine did too. He said, you have to be callous to their criticism. So, of course, if somebody is, you have to be sincere enough to know the difference between bona fide criticism and bogus criticism. If someone is criticizing you for a fault that you actually have, then you must take it. We have to, each and every one of us have to understand, I am a contaminated, proud rascal. And I need to be rectified from this contaminated state of consciousness.
So if there's a bona fide correction coming through anyone, we have to take it. But if there's some ridiculous thing, we're being criticized for doing the right thing, and we know is right, then we have to just be callous to that criticism. So, in this way, I've learned to distinguish between, you know, what is actually what Prabhupada wants and what he doesn't want. And if somebody is pointing out to me that I'm actually deviating from what Prabhupada wants me to do, then I'm eternally indebted to them for doing that. You see. If somebody criticizes me for doing what Prabhupada wants me to do, well, just let it roll off like a water on a lotus leaf. Just carry on with serving Prabhupada's mission. You see. It happens sometimes. When I started my e-course, the Ultimate Self-Realization course, somebody on the when I hit 2,000 subscribers, I advertised it. Now, of course, now we have 20,000. When I hit 2,000, I announced it to my readers. So one reader reported me to the GBC. A GBC man accused me of being a liar for making up this lie that I had 2,000 people on my e-course. He told this bhakta that this Sankarshan is lying and you should keep an eye on him and see if he continues lying like this. It was just an isolated incident. And this bhakta chastised me for being a liar. He says, I have the proof. The GBC guru has confirmed that you are a liar and I have caught you. You see, in this way he scolded me for being a liar. So I wrote him back, I said, you can tell that GBC guru, he owes me an apology. I'm not lying. I never got the apology. Now I got 20,000 students. So in this way, sometimes it happens in the society. Because it's a hospital, we're all sick. And, you know, we're getting purified, so, you know, it's okay. I make mistakes also. Many of my mistakes have been forgiven, so I forgive the mistakes of others too. We have to be a very forgiving. Prabhupada said, Chama, the quality of forgiveness is very important. We have to forgive the offenses of others. So I forgive. But at the same time, I can laugh about how silly it was. These things go on sometimes amongst the devotees. We shouldn't be disturbed by it. We should just keep our enthusiasm and go forward. Actually, this movement is predicted to go down in history for having saved the world in its darkest hour. And Papa told us in Bombay, this is amazing what he said. He said, the whole world is being managed by rogues and demons. He says, now, you make your life successful and you take the management. Papa wants us to be the world leaders. Not that I just sit here in my center and have some nice programs and get enlivened with a few, you know, God brothers. That's nice. But that's only the beginning. We have to think about how to revolutionize this entire world. How to bring everyone under the influence of Prabhupada's books. You see. So we're meant to become very, very mature. This is why I'm giving a lot of seminars now all over the movement on pure devotional service. The first time I offered to do one of these seminars at the North American Festival of Inspiration, the leaders said no. They didn't want me to give a seminar on pure devotional service. I don't know why. Is there something wrong with that topic? Maybe it's old-fashioned. I don't know what they were thinking, but they said no, you cannot. We don't want it. At that time, I was famous for, you know, this internet thing I'm doing. So they said, well, you can do one on your internet preaching, how you're using the internet. That you can do. And I said, I'll make a deal. If you let me do pure devotional service, I will also do internet. And they said, all right. They wheeled and dealed with me, let me do pure devotional service. And then, of the two seminars I gave, pure devotional service and how to use the internet for preaching, there was more devotees attracted to pure devotional service, and people were crying in the audience. when they heard the seminar. They were in tears. Some people were in tears. They were so moved by this seminar. It's available on the internet also. spiritual-revolutionary.com. You go to the New Vrindavan Pure Devotional Seminar. It's online. So, I told the organizers of the festival that of the two seminars, Pure Devotional Service was more popular. They said, you're the first on the list for next year. So we'd have to be a little patient sometimes. Sometimes things are not understood, but we have to, if we keep our determination and move forward knowing and doing what is right, then they will get the message and understand. So we don't have to be discouraged. Sometimes it takes a while for the truth to be uncovered. It's buried by the Bhaktivinoda Thakura says like that. The truth can only be temporarily covered by ignorance. So now I'm at fault. I'm violating the schedule here. The RT is supposed to be 8 minutes ago or something. I get in trouble 15 minutes ago. According to that. Now I'm in trouble. A little cane may come and yank me out of the office. In the old days of vaudeville in the U.S., they used to, that's the old joke, there'd be the entertainer would be on the stage, he'd be going, doing a bad job or something, and a cane would come out from the side around his neck and yank him off the stage. So anyway, so there's no cane that yanks me off. I'm going to go ahead and stop here and thank you all very much for your kind attention, and now we'll go on to the next item of the program. Anybody who wants to speak with me personally, be happy to talk with you more. Any questions you may have or discussion, I'll be here. After the RT, we can continue talking. Thank you very much. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.